Right. Hey, is this working?
How about now? If we could all just come in a bit. It's a lot of reverb. I don't need that. Can everybody hear me now? That's a funny question, because if you can't hear me, you're not going to respond. So, and typically people don't respond here anyway when I ask a question. So, welcome. Would you just join me in prayer as we begin? Father, in times like this, it's difficult to know exactly what we should say. Only, Lord, that today we ask that you would be here and that you would comfort our hearts. Scriptures tell us that you are the Prince of Peace, and so, Father, we pray that you would, through your Spirit, by your Son, be that peace in our hearts today. Father, we know that you sent your Son to bring peace ultimately between us and you. And so, Father, we pray that if there's anyone who is not at peace with you, that today, Lord, they would come to know you. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful beach where we can remember our brother. But we know, Lord, that he's no longer going to be here. He's with you. We'll see him, Lord, seated by a sea of glass. We thank you, God, for him. We thank you, Lord, for this time. And we come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is everybody here that needs to be here before I begin? Sunny and Cheryl, are they here? They're not? Okay. We're here today at this beautiful beach to remember Richard Arthur Packer, born on the 8th of August, 1972. All right. Sorry about the printout error. It says 1971. I was mistaken. To Mr. Ernest Arthur Packer, and raised by his mother, Cheryl Ann Monroe, and her partner, Sonny Morehu. I don't have Richard to correct me on that, so I'm just going to go with what I just pronounced. Richard undeniably left an indelible mark on us all. And this in particular is a special place. This beach is where Richard would spend much of his time, often fishing, listening to worship music, praying, and crying out to God during times of trial and affliction. This is where he married the love of his life, Julia. In a beautiful ceremony where God brought together two very unlikely people in holy matrimony. In July, Richard and Julia actually rented a cabin for our family in Athenry so that we could get away for the weekend. I remember spending the afternoon here, wondering why anybody would spend the afternoon here, because it was cold and it was windy and it was, to be honest, a little bit miserable. Richard's environment, totally. I remember spending that afternoon here, windy and cold, and my wife saying, you know, to me recently, why don't we leave? And she said, it's because Richard has invited us into his world. As chaotic as that felt sometimes. And I remember just on this beach watching him show my son how to fish with the Kentucky. And the evening was spent at his home with him and Julia laughing, talking about God and other things over a boil up. It was our first time. And it was so good. Richard loved to feed us. He loved to care for us. He loved to laugh. He loved to talk about his faith. It was in these dunes that Richard and I had our first yarn. I'm assuming you know what that is. He taught me what it was. We went to his mom's house. We picked up a small barbecue and some meat from Foursquare just down the street. And we sat down in the dunes and he cooked some things up and he shared a bit of his story with me then. Talked about his new relationship with the Lord and with Julia. And in later conversations, what I found out that impressed him the most about that conversation with me is that when he asked me to pray for the food, it was quick. Essentially, God, thank you for this food and this time. Amen. I don't know that he remembered much more beyond that prayer, but it seemed to fit with one of his mottos in life, which was keep it simple, with a little bro at the end, usually. Keep it simple. And Rich kept it simple. And maybe he didn't realize this, but the motto that he had, at least one of them for his life, harmonized well with something that the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And for Rich, I can say that he knew contentment in the simplicities of life. He didn't need accolades. In fact, if you were to thank him for something he'd done, that kind of made him angry a little bit. He didn't even want thanks for the good things that he would do. He didn't need recognition. He certainly didn't long for or need material wealth or the things that so many people love and live for. He was content with the basics, which is a good reminder, I think, for all of us that many of the things that we may be living our lives for are actually not worth living our lives for. Rich liked to say this, and he said it quite often, that he didn't really like people. I think he'd be mortified to see all of the people here today, maybe. Like, get off my beach, leave me alone, I'm fishing. Except maybe a couple of people that he'd invite in to this time. I think to some degree that statement that he didn't like people was true. I think he didn't like the hypocrisy that he saw in some people. He didn't like the pain that people caused to others. He didn't like the lack of love or respect that people had for people or things that he valued. He didn't like the corruption of sin that was so evident in society and in nature. And again, I'm not so sure that Richard understood how much of these things harmonize with the teaching of the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Apostle Paul teaches us, and he says in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And, you know, Richard suffered. He struggled with some things. Some things, you know, that he brought on himself, some trials, some of those things. But it's not worthy to be compared with the glory where he is just now, right now. And he says, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." And what Paul teaches us, as he continues there, he explains that this world has been corrupted by sin, that there's coming a day when it will be delivered from the bondage of this corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And he says that the whole creation groans and labors for this time of resurrection. We see a beautiful beach, but I think this is nothing compared to what we will see when we see Jesus. And it's nothing compared to where Richard is even now. I think that one of the problems with Rich, and I know you're not supposed to talk about these, is that though he attempted to keep people at arm's length oftentimes, there's something about him that drew people in. People weren't about here, but there was something about him that drew people close. And maybe it was that cheeky grin or the contagious laugh. Maybe it was his sense of humor, his genuine care for people, his authenticity in a world of hypocrisy. I think those things were certainly attractive to people. You may hear this and wonder why you kept coming to church. You know, why involve yourself in a community of people that are a little bit different from you? I think it's because he found a family with us at Shoreline. He loved his Shoreline fauna. Richard hadn't walked so long with the Lord, just 4 years or so. But as I was considering his impact on my life personally and what it was that made him so special to all of us, One thing that came to my mind is that Rich was not only thankful for his spiritual fauna, but he was faithful in his calling to serve them. In this, he truly exhibited the heart of Christ. In John chapter 13, we see Jesus himself stoop to wash the feet of his disciples. This not only to demonstrate his own love for them, but also to leave them with an example of what they were to do for one another. His message is that they would only really be blessed by doing it for others, not just by knowing what they should do. Richard did it. He served others. He washed feet, not in a literal sense, because that'd be weird in our time. But he certainly washed the feet of those that he loved and knew. He served others. He thought of others. He protected others. He provided for others. He was truly others focused. Those that he loved deeply, and he sacrificed regularly for them. He gave of himself with no strings attached, and perhaps one of the most inspiring displays of love for others, is seen in his relationship with his brother James. A relationship there where we see a brotherly love like many of us may never know. I was thinking about the scripture in John chapter 15, verse 13, where it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And I know that we often think of this, if we think of this at all, in terms of dying for somebody, but I think that it also includes this idea of living for somebody. And I think that one thing we can say of Richard is that he laid down his life for his friends. A great love. Richard laid down his life for others, and he leaves us all with the challenge, I think, today to do the same. Life is too short to spend it on the things which are passing away. There are eternal things. There are things worth living for. Richard may not have had the words to say it to you, but Richard wanted you to know that he loves Jesus. And I think that his heart for each of you is that you would come to know him as he did. I'm going to close with just a scripture which reminded me of this heart of service. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And then I'll invite Julia up to share some words. And then we'll open that up to you to share some things about our brother as well. He says there, if there's any comfort in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And get this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This was something I think that Richard read, but even more importantly, it was something that he did. And then the apostle goes on to say that he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This was the mind of Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be held on to be equal with God. But listen, this is God, made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a slave, a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who was God, became flesh and became a servant to the point that he died on the cross for you and for me. That's not where it ended. Jesus rose from the dead, and he continues by saying, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so while today I do mourn for our loss, I rejoice in our hope, and that is the reality that Richard is with Jesus in glory. Julia, I want to invite you now to share if you're up for it.
thank you to my family, my church family, friends in this entire beach and the Athenry community for your love, your support, kind words and generosity. I've been completely overwhelmed. When Rich and I met 4.5 years ago, it was a miracle from God. We were from completely different worlds. I was very happy being single and he was happy to be alone. But God had other plans. I'm pretty sure everyone knows how we met. I'll never forget that day. I was nearly ready to open up at 7 a.m. and was putting out my sign, and this guy with dreads and bare feet rocked up and got a coffee. He was extremely smiley and loved my coffee cup. And that was the beginning of our friendship, which led to marriage. I don't know much about his past. He's shared little snippets. But on the 16th of June 2019, he asked God into his heart and a transformation began to take place. The book of Psalms, which is in the Word of God, says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, which Rich had, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I know that Rich is now in heaven. He is completely free. He's in no pain. He's comforted and he's in peace. If there's one word to describe him, it would be servant-hearted. Not only was he my best friend, husband, and protector, he also cared for and protected so many others. When I looked up what the actual meaning of servant heart was, it describes it as a person stopping their friends from arguing, saying a kind word to someone who is feeling down, or fulfilling a basic need for someone that's in a tough situation. And Rich was all of those. He literally would give the shirt off his back for someone that he didn't even know. In the book of Philippians, it says, for to me, living means living for Christ, but dying is even better. It's my loss. It's our loss that he's no longer here. That's his gain. He's in heaven now and he's completely free. In 2 Timothy 4:7 it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Over the past 4.5 years, Rich has fought the good fight and he has finished his race and he is now with his maker. I praise God that I had the honor and the privilege of spending those last 4.5 years with the redeemed Rich. Bless you, honey, and I look forward to seeing you in heaven.
We do want to open it up at this time for you to share. Be mindful of the time. Share a story of what Rich meant to you. But please, as you do, just make sure that your face is real close to the microphone. So please, come on up. Let's not hesitate if you came prepared to share something.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Julia. Julia, I was thinking this morning about you and Richard, and, you know, there's this expression, isn't there? It just came to me, the love of a good woman, the love of a good woman. And a lot of people use that expression. Okay, a lot of people use the expression, the love of a good woman, to as a kind of a way of saying that was their saving grace, the love of a good woman. And I thought about it and I thought, no, his saving grace was Jesus. But what you did was show him what love is. In the flesh. So in that way, yes, you did bring him to Jesus who saved him. But then, you know, he saw what being loved is like from a person. And I think that's just a beautiful sign. It's a beautiful picture of what we do here on earth. Jesus isn't here in the flesh anymore, and he's left us to love, to show how he loves us and how he loves others. So I just wanted to honor you in that, because yes, Rich made his own decision, which is important. You know, everyone has to make their own decision, but yeah, you loved him well.
Well, that's an answer to prayer, that the Lord would give you the strength. We're here just as much for Rich as we are for you, and we love you, and we're so thankful to see you. We've waited all week, but I stand up here because I have a mum, and my mum's parked somewhere on the top, and I'm not sure that she'd come here even if she felt like she could. But my mum's experienced a day just like this, but that's something I don't want to bring on this day. But Pastor Doug, you said that Richard said that he didn't like people, and I know that because when the first time I met him, he stood me in pole position and he told me that, and I was like, whoa. But we did have something in common, and it was the fact that he loved the bush and he looked like a bushman. And I had a feeling, a very strong feeling, that he had Māori blood in him, so I thought, we're going to be closer than he realises. Well, my mum does have a son-in-law, praise God, but my mum was loved by Richard, and yeah, there's something that I can't say because it won't be appropriate, but I absolutely agree with what you said. There was something so warm, and we were doing side hugs, and the last time I saw him it was a full one. So yeah, we love you, Julia, and I love you, Richard, and by the power and the strength of God we can stand up here.
Good morning, thank you all for coming. I'm Julia's dad. I'm John. I have come to know Richard over nearly 4 years and a bit, and I love him a lot. Present tense. I have witnessed the transformation in his life over this period. He has become a Christian and knows and loves God. 2 weeks after making his decision, he was baptized at the Mount Beach. It's impossible to keep him away from water. I attended that memorable event. I wrote him a little message in a Bible verse that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The past is passed away and the new has come. And then I said to Richard, you used to be a man with a past, but now you have become a man with a future. He was on a steep learning curve on his walk with God. His outstanding character trait to me was his largeness of heart. That gave him love for God, love for God's creation, love for people. It also made him exceedingly generous. He was a giver. I suspect that he gave away more fish than he kept. He gave them to anybody, not just his friends. He also gave his time and practical skills. He loved helping people. He was still struggling with some issues in his life, but who of us is perfect? We don't have to be perfect to receive God's love. We just need to learn how to receive it through repentance, asking him into our lives, and by coming to know him. This Richard did. I am going to miss him so much.
He used to call me young fella. Which is funny. But nobody calls me young fella anymore. So it became endearing to me. Rest. Rest in the peace that God can give you. Rest in God's presence, my son. We will catch up later and chew the fat.
I'll be quick. I first met Richard here. We had done a church family camp, and I remember going for a walk with him and the whole church, and you could see he was not particularly used to being in a group. Like, he didn't know a lot of people there, and yeah, you could just see it was yeah. And I remember just trying to talk to him, and yeah, just seeing him a little bit nervous and stuff, and yeah, so just talking to him, and then seeing him get more and more comfortable in the church, and seeing him greet people at the door. And I remember when I was going through things, he just give me a big hug, and it just made me feel so welcome. So it was so cool seeing him go from feeling a little bit out of the water to feeling like just making me feel so at home. And yeah, that was just amazing. We'll miss him.
I've called this the parable of the Richard. We were at church camp. Was it at Athenry? I think we were at church camp,
and you,
Rich, yeah, you guys were there, and we were going to, we needed to go up and over a pinnacle of, we had to go up a cliff or something. It was, yeah, down that way, for those of you who know that, you may, and the tide was quite high, and we had families that wanted to go over and through this track to get to this really nice beach. And here was Richard, if I remember rightly, he was kind of waist deep in the water, and we were corralling families, you know, with really young children and us and everything to get over this. We had to go through the water. It was quite deep, and here was Richard in the water making sure that everybody made it through. I think he was wearing shoes, so those were toast. And here he was making sure everyone got up to where they needed to go to be safe to get to the beach. And that is the parable of the Richard. If you consider that Richard was the way for us to get to the promised land, so is Jesus. Jesus is the way to get to the promised land.
If I don't do it now, I won't do it at all. Okay. I have a few words I want to say, and then I have a recording for my son. Richard was... There are no words for Richard. If you knew him, you knew that he was an amazing mix of a lot of different things. And if you judged a book by its cover, you probably would have stayed a bit clear of Richard. But Richard was actually very, very loving and very kind and very generous. And he took us in and made us his family. And I know what a privilege that was, and that's not lost on us. He had a love for all things sweet, even though Julia tried to curb his sugar appetite. Doug one time made him a cheesecake, and that's pretty much all he wrote. That was all he could ever talk about and ask for. And he really did love without strings attached, except for cheesecake. He would take cheesecake as payment for anything. I convinced him to come to the family camp through cheesecake, and I've made him one last cheesecake today to share with you all.
Although this is an immeasurable loss for us, I know that it's an immeasurable gain for Richard. He suffered greatly in this life. He burdened a lot. He had a very heavy heart. And I'm so thankful he's free of all of that. So I'm just gonna play you a recording. My son actually was gonna write something for me to speak, but thankfully he knows that I'm a crier, and he actually recorded something, so I don't have to read it and get through it. So just give me a minute.
Richard is a brother to me. He's generous, kind, and truly has a servant's heart. The last time we went out together, we went to his favorite fishing spot at his beach. And he gave me a leather fishing jacket and taught me how to use this contigy so one day I could take it out and use it myself. Before he goes fishing, he sits down, prays, and thanks God that we can be there today in his beautiful creation. And then when I was with him, he turned on worship music, the music that he dances and wiggles to. He also taught me how to use a surf caster and how to cast properly, what knots to use, and he gave me the right stuff to do it, like strings and hooks. My surf caster still has the same hooks and strings on it today that he helped me make and helped me tie. The last time we talked together was on Sunday before I left for Israel. He talked about this place by the beach down by a river where he found gold, and he said he planned a trip up there so when I got back we'd spend time in God's creation, go hiking, camping, and fishing, and maybe find some gold. He told me his plans, and we hugged, and I said, see you later. The night, a couple hours before I learned of his passing, I watched a movie called The Pilgrim's Progress, and in the end of the movie, this man named Christian runs through the gates of heaven and meets Jesus. I feel like this is God's way of comforting me, because I didn't know how much pain I'd be going through in the next couple of days. Today I know I'll see him again. When I do, we will spend time in God's creation. Maybe go fishing and find so much gold that there will be the streets paved with it. I will miss Richard, but I have the hope that I will see him again one day.
Describe how broken I am.
But Richard was one of the most humblest, fun, awesome people that I knew, and he inspires me to see God even more and to share Christ with everyone, because you could be the last person that they talk to. I will see him again one day.
I haven't prepared anything, but I've been thinking a lot about today and Richard. I think today is bittersweet. It's been a word that's popped up for me this whole week, is bittersweet. Because Richard is in a better place now. But today we're celebrating his life, and we're celebrating what God has done in his life. And I'll always remember Richard as somebody who was so super generous. I've heard that over and over again. And he loved to contribute, and he loved to contribute kind. And I'll always remember him turning up with fish, and always wanting to make food for our family. And I guess my last memory of Rich was on my birthday, and he brought me a present, and it was a big piece of driftwood, and it was filled with beautiful shells from the beach. And I just thought, so generous. So thoughtful and so creative. He made Julia happy. She said she would never get married, but Rich came along and changed all that. And so it's been an honor and a privilege to have Rich in our family. And I just, for all of us, I just want to say that this morning. Richard is also Māori, and he found faith, hope, and love, and I just would like to waiata this morning in honor of Rich. And so I'm going to ask my family to please come. If you guys would come up, Rob and the family. And we're going to sing a really well-known waiata, and if you know it, then please join in with us for Richard this morning.
You'll know it.
She sings. Yeah. She sings.
All right. It's Te Aroha. Te Aroha. Te
Selena, I'm Richard's cousin, so his mother Cheryl and my mother are sisters. Our family's had a long association with this beach. Our grandparents had a batch here, and our families have always, this is our spiritual home. So I've known Richard for a long time. We had, you know, wonderful memories of playing on the beach here with all our cousins, and then we lost touch for quite a long time, and he was in Bennydale, and about maybe 5 years ago, I was taking my son Angus to New Plymouth, and we went through Bennydale, and I said, oh look, my cousin lives here, let's just stop at the shop and see, you know, ask where he lives. And I was in the shop and I was just approaching the counter, and I heard someone come in behind me, and I turned around and it was Richard. And you know, he, when he first came here, he was tall, you know, dreadlocks. But I recognised him instantly, and I said, oh, Rich. And he turned around and he said, oh, Cuz. And I was just, he said, I've just been out in the bush and I've just come in for pie. And it was just an incredible moment. You know, like, what are the chances that he walked into the shop at that moment that I was in the shop and I was only going to be there for 5 minutes? And it was so great to reconnect. And I'm really thankful that we've spent a lot of time together over the last 5 years. And when he met Julia, I was so happy for him. You know, he is very generous, very big-hearted. He's always been like that. And just meeting this family and this community has given, you know, allowed him to show that and shine it brightly and have it shone back to him. So I'm really thankful for all of you and you know, all you've done for him. And I'm thankful that we've got to spend a lot of time together over the last 5 years, and my children have come to know him as well, and you know, they've learned a lot about life from him. So thank you, and thank you Julia for loving him.
So I don't usually talk in front of people, so this is really big for me, but I just feel Richard was so special to us. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. So Richard was just so special to us. And we met Julia at one of the outreaches, and she soon became such a precious, precious friend in the church, and such a lovely, wonderful Christian sister to have. And she joined the home group that we were doing at the time at Sandy and Nikki's place, and she came along one night and she just said she met somebody through the coffee. And so we were praying, she was just wanting to share the gospel with him and talk with him and just, you know, show the love of God. And she did that, and the next thing we knew, we were in church one day and Richard had come along, and we met him, and he had given his heart to the Lord that day. And it was such a amazing, sorry. And then it was such a wonderful time to see Julia and Richard get married right here. And we shared that with them, and that was just such a blessing. And seeing Richard come in and to the fellowship and be such a blessing to us. He filled so many places in our hearts. He was always there with a smile and kindness. He always gave you a big hug and made you feel welcome. And some days you came in and you were a bit shabby in yourself, and he just kind of lift your spirits. And he was such a blessing to us. And he always shone the love of Jesus to everyone he met. And he was a real example. And I feel it's just left a really big gap in our fellowship, and our hearts have all really felt this. But I also feel that he has also left behind something to us, and that is such a beautiful example of a godly and Christian man who cared about people, and that was a real treasure. And I just pray that that example can encourage us to love one another more like he did. And I'm just so looking forward to seeing him in heaven. And the Bible says that when we come to heaven, there's going to be a great, I can't remember what it was, but just a great welcoming from all the saints. And we really look forward to that, to meet Richard in heaven. And right now, he's just really having a wonderful time. And that gives me real joy to think of him up there, and that one day we're going to see him. And my heart for everyone here is that I hope that one day you will see him. If you would consider giving your heart to Jesus and joining the eternal company of people in heaven. Sorry, I can't put that too well, but that is my heart for you.
Hey, can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
I just want to say, Julia is one of my best friends, and she helped bring me to the Lord about 5.5 years ago. And I just want to say, you guys are like family to me. And I'm just so proud of you for bringing Rich to the Lord, Jules. And he got to spend the last 4.5 years of his life with you. And be so happy and get married. Man, he's in heaven now, Jules, and you guys will be together again one day. You've done such a great job. You just keep doing God's work. You're amazing.
Is there anybody else that would like to say something? Greg, have I given you the scripture I wanted you to read? Could you come and read?
So reading from Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away."
If there are no further stories or anything to share, we want to take a moment. I've asked Pastor Joe to close us in prayer. And in that time, I'm going to ask that Julia and whoever it is that she wants to invite down to scatter the ashes, that you begin that when we will take a moment to worship the Lord together. And then at which time is good for you, you can invite others down if you so please with the flower petals. So Joe, would you come and lead us in prayer?
I think from all of the stories that have been shared, something that's very, very clear about the life that Richard led, his redeemed life, was that he loved well. That he was servant-hearted in his love. That he was the kind of guy who, you might have been going to church longer than him, but he would make you feel welcome at the church that you've been going to longer than he has. That's who he was. So as we pray, I'll ask you guys to bow your heads and to close your eyes with me in prayer. This prayer is going to be that of thanksgiving that we got to experience Richard, that the Lord allowed us to experience Richard and the testimony of who he was, and that he reflected the glory of God. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time and this place and the opportunity to gather together and to mourn with one another. Lord, and as has already been said, we are experiencing a great loss. But we know and we trust that Richard is experiencing a great gain. Lord, we thank you for the time that you blessed us with our brother Richard. And pray that you just constantly remind us through him, through the memory of him, and his testimony of who you are, Lord. That you can redeem a man completely, change him completely. And that the testimony of Richard is that of the love and the grace and the mercy of you, God. We love you and we praise you. And again, we thank you so much for Richard and the life that you've given him and the relationships that you've given us. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I could. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.